Welcome to Sausage on a Fork, a podcast dedicated to the UK's longest-running children's drama programme, Grange Hill. My name's Neil, and in each episode, I'll interview a former cast member about their life before, during, and after their time on the programme. Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Sausage on a Fork, and I am absolutely delighted to say that I have been joined by none other than Helena Maher, who played Diane Richmond. Helena, welcome to Sausage on a Fork.
Thank you, Neil. It's an absolute pleasure.
Brilliant. Okay, so what we'll do, Helena, is we'll start the way we start every episode. And if you can tell us how you got into acting.
Oh, wow. It kind of happened by accident. My mum sent me on like a drama holiday camp. When I was about seven, and off I went, and it was singing, dancing, and acting for 5 days. And I ended up being in the acting group and doing this final performance. And there were agents randomly in the audience. So, next thing you know, it was Sylvia Young, Anna Cher, Bowdens, all contacting my family. Wow. And saying, she needs to be on the stage, she's a natural, da 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 da. I've got to say, since the day I could talk and move, I was always performing. Wow. So next thing you know, my mum and dad were very kind of traditional. They didn't want me to go to Anna Cher or Sylvia Young. Uh-huh. So I went to the local acting place, which was called Bowdens, right, which is an acting agency. And it all began from there, really.
That must have been great, having like a bit of a bidding war.
I didn't really have any understanding of it, to be honest. Uh-huh. And then I just started going to kind of the acting weekend classes, which was about 4 hours every Saturday.
Right.
Unbeknownst to me, the agents, we all had to do photographs and go into the casting book. And I kept being asked for auditions, and my mum and dad always said no.
Wow.
And how it happened was one day I answered the phone and Tony himself said, I've got an audition for you. And I went, have you? And it kind of snowballed, and I started getting some adverts and small jobs. And yeah, so that's kind of how it all started, really.
Wow. And did you get to work with anyone famous, like, in those
days? Well, my first kind of series of adverts were with David Bailey. Which was really, so he kind of, once I worked with him, he liked me a lot. I did mine in one shot. It was the Prudential advert I want to be.
Right, okay.
So it was quite a big advert. It ended up rolling for years, and it was in the cinema, and it was sold to other countries. And so I was originally meant to be asking to go to the toilet. And it was all very bizarre. And it was in this massive warehouse, and it was snowing. And it was my first ever kind of big job. I could see he was getting really frustrated. I think I was only 11. And I'm just thinking, I'm freezing. I don't know what's going on. I want to go home, because we were there at 6 a.m. and it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. So I just started getting pieces of paper. I was colouring them in, and I asked for a ruler. And this guy looked at me and went, what do you want a ruler for? And next thing you know, I basically created my own advert, the actual piece I was doing. So he kind of went, what are you doing? So I said, I want to be expelled. And he went, right, film it. And that's literally how that part came about. Yeah, it was very bizarre.
Do you know what? Now you've said that, I remember. The only bit I was thinking of when you mentioned the I want to be was I want to be a tree. That's the bit that everyone remembers that.
Tree.
But the I want to be expelled, yeah, blimey, I remember that.
Yeah, well, man, I was having my makeup done, and he came in. And he was half naked. Right. I remember thinking, I'm not sure I'm meant to be looking at you.
Oh, brilliant. So you said you've done a few parts there. So then, Grange Hill?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Again, that was a bit, our agency, Bowdens, kind of made up all the extras. Uh-huh. That was everybody I knew who was in the agency, at least was an extra. And so I went along, and it was kind of standard. Yeah, that's what you did. If you didn't do anything else, you were an extra on Grange Hill. And I didn't get it. I was like, what? And I literally kind of thought, hang on a minute. What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
So my agent just went, what did you do wrong? It was all very bizarre. And then literally weeks later, I got a phone call to say, actually, you've been asked to go for some principal characters. So I actually went for Diane and Fiona.
Right.
So literally it was week on week. And I mean, week on week, I did five or six auditions in the end. I ended up they actually then asked me to come back to then read other characters to help them audition. It was, right. It was a really, really long process. My sister loved it because she'd come to Elstree and she'd sit and meet all the EastEnders characters and all the other famous faces. I was too busy and too nervous to kind of take much in, to be honest. But yes, it was a long process. And that's kind of how it happened. And next thing you know, I was cast as Diane, and kind of went from there, really.
Brilliant. And so, were you a fan of Grange Hill?
Oh God, yeah. We grew up with my sister and brother were 5 and 6 years older than me, so I grew up with Tucker and all of those, and Zamo and all those big stories. And it was one of those, and I'm sure you're aware that not every parent allowed their children to ever watch Grange Hill, but my mum was so kind of whatever. Right. So it was very, very well known. And then obviously, literally I had with friends being extras, and it was one of those jobs that you always wanted to get. So very much so. It was very well known in our house, especially Just Say No and all those kind of huge and hard hitting storylines as well.
So what was it like then, going from being a fan to then walking in and seeing the likes of Rachel Victoria Roberts and Sonia Cairns and all them? What was it like meeting all them?
It was, because I'd been acting for a couple of years, I knew that it was kind of, that might sound really weird, a job. Right. So as much as you kind of go, oh my goodness, that they're X, Y, Z, you also were like, well, they're also an actor. I know that sounds very, very weird because I was only 11 or 12.
Right.
But I think because I'd been working for a couple of years previously, that I kind of, and I was very much around adults doing my previous roles. And there's a, within the agency, how we were trained, if you like to say, was very much of, you are a professional, no matter how old you are. You are not to be awestruck. You are to say hello. You are to be respectful. And that was one first thing they said when we were in Grange Hill, kind of the introductions was, when you do meet EastEnders characters or people from Top of the Pops, they're just other actors. Do not go up to them asking for autographs.
Right.
So, you kind of... Yeah, it was. I mean, it was great fun because you kind of go, "Oh my goodness, that's X, Y, Z," and hi, and then you think, "Oh, they're really normal."
I know, because I know when Tim Polley was on, he said, they were obviously told the same thing, years earlier. He said, but there was one day when Christopher Reeve was in the canteen, and he said there was no way I was going to let this one go, and he said, and I had to go and get his autograph. Okay, so you joined in. For series 15, went out in 1992, and you joined, and there was a few of you because you were year sevens joined. So there was Diane, there was, as you said, Fiona, Lauren, there was also Techno and Spanner. Now, before we get into Diane, every week, we do the guest-to-guest competition, and the last episode of the podcast that went out, someone called Ryan Schooler, it got guessed that it was Paula Ramblan playing Claire Scott was the guest for that one. So the winner, gets to ask a question. Now, he's asked that when Alan Cave was on, he sort of alluded to the fact that himself and Xander Ward were quite mischievous.
They were,
with the chaperones. Yeah. But what he wants to know is, because it's always the stories about the boys that we hear who were naughty. He said, were the girls any better behaved?
I'll be honest, I was a little bit mischievous, but I think I also, I was pretty strict on set because I also knew that you could be sacked. And I knew that there was whisperings of those two behaving mischievously, and they were getting warnings from June and Joan a lot. I remember one time we were on the bus and we were doing, what were we filming? Was it the, might have been the gang, when we were all up in the warehouse and that. Uh-huh. And honestly, they were constantly being told off. And you're like, guys, you just shush and you just sit down. And I mean, I'm far from a goody-goody two-shoes, trust me. But they were, yeah, they did have a bit of reputation, to say the least. I was kind of more, you know, sit there and go, no, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. So, yeah. And Fiona was very kind of straight. Lauren, very quiet, because she joined halfway through, I think. Great. She joined a bit late. So she was definitely the quieter. Yeah, they were up to everything and anything. They'd go missing. They wouldn't be on where they're meant to be. You know, we're meant to be doing so many tutoring hours a day, and you'd be like, where have they gone? And they'd be in the green room. They're not meant to be in the green room. Yeah, so definitely they had a bit of a reputation.
Oh,
but in
no.
All innocence, there was no, you know, there was no malice or to anything. So God bless them.
Just kids being kids.
Absolutely, yeah. And they were having the time of their life at the end of the day. We knew we were in a privileged position and doing something that we absolutely loved. So they just thought, you know, let's get away with having a bit of fun as well. So, yeah, I don't blame them.
Brilliant. Okay, so we first see Diane, episode 5, I think it was. And our first scene, we find out that she can be quite a bit of a feisty character, because Mr. Robson walks past and all he does is he just asks her a name. And she responds with, why, what have I done? I haven't done nothing. And he's just like, and even like I'm watching that thinking, oh, he only asked you what your name was. And it just seemed like, but again, it's just like it's a typical kid's response, isn't it? Especially, you know, authority, you know, in high school, and you're just trying to make a name for yourself, aren't you? Like, so it just seemed, we think, yeah, all right, this one's going to, she is going to be quite feisty. She's going to look after herself, this one. Like, and then also round about then, there was a thing with, and I think this is quite ahead of its time for Grange Hill, because it was 1992, mm-hmm. and there was photographers in the school playground, just, you know, taking pictures. And it turns out they were doing it for, like, you know, stock photos. And it probably didn't seem that big a deal back then, or it wouldn't have seemed that big a deal for people to just be taking pictures, you know. But we always say Grange Hill was ahead of its time and it was groundbreaking. But there was
always was, yeah. The writers really had it on point every single time, I've got to say.
Uh-huh. And there was, and so then there was the kids were told then, if you do see anyone taking photos, make sure, you know, you come and tell a teacher. So while they're leaving school, a lot of the kids stopped for the photographers, but it was Diane who actually pointed out to the teachers that the photographers were there. As though she was feisty, she could have been a bit of a snitch as well, I imagine.
Which is, I'm definitely feisty, but I'm no snitch. But yeah. There were some similarities.
Now, while that series was going on, there was quite a big storyline happening with regards to the Chrissy Mannering pregnancy.
Yeah.
And Diane has a very, very, very small part in that storyline, because it's when Christine, I think, goes into labour.
Labour.
And it's Diane that finds out. And goes looking for Justine. She, you know, she runs after her shouting, and it's Mr. Hargreaves comes out and ends up giving Diane a detention for being too noisy. But rather than, you know, this is the other thing, you know, rather than Diane sort of saying, well, hold on, I was only looking for her because her mate got into labour, Diane takes it and then tells Justine later on what it was. And I just think, you know, it must be nice, just because there's that big storyline going on, it must be nice just to have that little part in that, you know, such a big storyline. Yeah, because she just knew that there was a girl in the toilet who was upset. And Justine manages to work out that it's Chrissy, and she'd gone into labour. And like we say, you know, you were working with the likes of Rachel Roberts and Sonia Cairns, but you also, a lot of Diane's scenes were with teachers as well.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
And what was the working relationship like with them?
To be honest, really good. I mean, you'd get, I've got some really good fond memories of actually being off set and just sitting and talking and getting advice. It was all very kind of, you know, making sure that we were okay as children, also being protective of us, and just giving us advice and being kind, just really, really generally nice. I knew how privileged we were as well. It was very much kind of, because these actors were, they're on Grange Hill, but some of them, you know, they've been part of the Shakespeare Company and in big movies and things like that. So absolutely. I mean, God, there were sometimes we'd be rolling around on the floor and then suddenly, like, you know, Hargreaves is running after me, etc. And but yeah, no, very, very, they were always, always very, very lovely to us and always very professional, as well as being looking after us and giving us advice all the time, which was very nice.
Yeah, because you said there that you were told not to be starstruck.
Yeah.
But as an 11-year-old and you're sat there with Anna Quayle, how can you not be starstruck at that point?
I know.
Point?
And growing up with that, it was, you know, my biggest thing was going home and telling my sister, yeah. You know, big fans. What? yeah. And then obviously, when we were coming towards the end of the year filming, and I asked, remember Tom Hood said, can I bring my camera in? And he was like, yes. It was all about making sure you got the certain photos. I never got one of Mrs. McCluskey, though, because she left very early in series 15. And I never got a bit. I mean, that was a very much like Mrs. McCluskey. You know, that was huge for me. You know, having grown up with, I probably shouldn't have been watching Grange Hill when I was six, but I'm definitely watching it that young. And, you know, she was such a big character, which was great.
I mean, that, to be fair, that's the age I remember watching Grange Hill as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then you've mentioned the gang fights and that earlier on, and there was a lot of that going on. There was people getting attacked, you know, at different parts of the series, and one of them was Justine Dean. Mm-hmm. And there was all sorts of rumours flying around about it. And, you know, I've just mentioned Anna Quayle there. Mrs. Munro stops the girls through the corridor. And she says, you know, where are you going? And we're all going to the toilet. And she says, well, why do you all need to go together? And she said, because the maniac who attacked Justine might be there. And Mrs. Munro says to them, the only maniac they'll be seeing will be their form. She said, if they were late for detention. And I watched that scene. And again, Anna Quayle, just a legend. But I just think, I want her to keep a straight face when you've got her, you know, saying those things to you. I just think, because although I've never really, you know, I probably shouldn't admit this, and everyone will think it's bizarre, I've never really watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
How can you not?
Exactly,
amazing.
I've got to this age of my life, and I've never watched it. I mean,
dancing that she does. Come on.
But I just love it. I love Mrs. Munro.
And she's just like that in real life. She's so calm. She's so soft. And just it's such nice nature about her. She's a lady that you'll never forget that you've met, really. But yeah, definitely. I mean, gosh, I was in awe. Someone from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It was, yeah.
Brilliant. And then there was a lot happened in that series, because there was also the Writers' Week stuff was going on. And we see Diane talking about...
I had a massive sty in my eye the whole way through all of that Writers' Week.
Right.
And they kept saying they were going to do some really, really close close-ups. I don't know why. And I've actually got very small eyes. And they were like, we can't. So it was all, they brought in this dragon. And remember to say, look, home in on the dragon, not Helena.
Brilliant.
She had such a bright red eye. It was horrendous. But wonders of makeup, I guess.
And, you know, again, Diane's kind of there. Comes through in this, because she's having a chat with Lauren about what Writers' Week is, and Lauren explains that there's going to be different writers coming in, and Diane says, well, I hope we get someone good, and Lauren says, well, someone good looking anyway, and then Diane says, no, there's no chance of that, writers are all old, most of them are dead.
That's her knowledge.
And then, you know, you've just mentioned there, the writer that came in had actually been to China, so they get to walk around the school like a Chinese dragon. Did you have much training for that one?
It's, do you know, when you get the script and you're reading it, and then you're doing rehearsals, which becomes producers run, you look at it and think, how are they going to do this? But they do. It's you know, it is funny.
Brilliant. And, you know, we mentioned a couple of the staff that you worked with. You also got to work with Nicholas Donnelly, Mr. McKenzie, who was, again, one of them teachers that you wanted at your school. I mean, and everyone, you know, who I've spoken to, worked with him, just said he was just exactly the same, bar the Scottish accent.
Oh, God, yeah. He was lovely. He was really, really nice. And again, just very kind of looking after us, making sure we're okay. And yeah, really nice man.
Yeah. And again, you know, one of them lessons there, again, Diane was never afraid to speak her mind, was she? Because in one of his lessons, they had to make a vehicle to carry a, you know, carry a load, yeah. And therefore they were solving a problem. And Lauren said, well, the problem was that the lesson was boring. And Mackenzie said, no, it's not, it's challenging. And Diane's character comes out again because she just said, well, that's the same thing, isn't it? And, you know, and you just think, I would never dream of saying it, anything like that to my teachers. Brilliant. Okay, so then, as you know, we mentioned there that there was the sort of the gang fighting had been going on, and there'd been the feud between Grangehill and St. Joseph's. And again, you have a small part in that where you were chased by some of the lads from St. Joseph's. Now, when I've watched that scene recently, you look like you're laughing your head off as you're doing that. Were you?
No, I can't remember, to be honest. I might well have been. Who knows? I remember it taking forever because it was over a course of a few days, and my Lord, was there a lot of people there. And there was just, it was, I remember running for a long, long, long time, and it was filming for a lot. It was one of those scenes where it was really short, but actually took a long time to film, and it got, probably because it was on location and it wasn't on a track. I remember a man actually holding the camera. It's one of those balance cameras. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, God knows, I probably have to watch it back. But yeah, I actually was laughing. Yeah.
And then he was saved by Natasha Stevens, played by Claire Buckfield.
Yeah.
And then that then led to the big gang fight on the waste ground between the two schools. Now, I've heard a few stories about the fighting scene and getting there. What are your memories of that one?
It's funny. I don't have, listening to Alan's, he remembers it being quite scary. I don't remember it being scary. I just remember it being an awful lot of people, and we were very much making sure we were sticking to schedule. We were back on the bus, do not wander around. But there was a lot going on, and we knew that. And I remember just even getting our lunch when we had the canteen trucks, and it was mayhem. It was absolutely mayhem, and just didn't know anybody. It was really weird. So when you had a familiar face, especially our chaperones, we were kind of stuck with them. Uh-huh. But yeah, it was. It wasn't a fun location site, to be honest. The filming wasn't fun on that. It was get it done and get back to set.
And it looked like it was a really hot day.
Yeah,
as well.
Actually it was. Yeah, it really was. And then suddenly we're on mound because there was a lot of filming that you don't even see that we're part of because we're part of the crowd.
Yeah.
And then we did extra filming just to be like parts where we were running towards the fight. There was so many extra scenes that actually just get cut.
Right.
But yeah, it was a long day and very kind of busy and just, But I mean, I don't remember it negatively. So Alan's memory of it was slightly different to mine. But again, it's something I've wiped out. That makes sense.
Yeah, because he said he was terrified.
Yeah.
Now, during that, there was a kid called Jake.
Oh, God, Jake, yes.
He was there and he fell and hurt his head.
Mm.
And that bit sort of went on for quite a while, just sort of dealing with the aftermath and the repercussions of that. But during the cookery lesson afterwards, Diane asked him if he was okay. And you think, oh, you know, she's being quite nice there. But then the other two, Techno and Spanner, start teasing him, and Diane just starts laughing with them and then walks off and leaves Jake. And he's just like, all right, okay. And you just think she's gone over being quite nice there. And of course, the other two have started having a go, and she sort of laughed with them and left him alone. But then during that lesson, Diane knocks the scales onto a pot, which then starts a fire.
Yeah.
Were you actually present during the fire? Was it actually sort of in your vicinity, or is it clever camera trickery?
I mean, that was filmed in, if I'm right, that was filmed in a different school. So right. An actual real school. There was a few things that they filmed at that school. There was some sort of tournament, football tournament or something.
Right.
So that was actually in a school kitchen, like a secondary school kitchen. It was one of those where you saw it and then the magic happened and yeah. You weren't there on set. It was one of those. Right. And it was just, you suddenly thought, I don't remember that happening.
And there was also in that series was the Peace Garden.
Yeah.
And that was quite a big storyline, you know, the fact that the local authority wanted to sell it to developers and stuff, but the kids wanted to keep it, you know, for the school. And Diane and her friends found a paw print in the school garden. And they asked Mr. Hankin how they could find out what animal it was. Now, before we talk about that, we've got to talk about Lee Corns as well, because again, everyone who talks about Lee Corns just says what an amazing, funny, brilliant bloke that he is. Like, what are your memories of working with him?
No, absolutely. It was, to be honest, everything connected to the Peace Garden was actually a lot of fun.
Right.
I remember Ross Kemp coming along and watching the filming, gone blank of his name, Ian Beale, because it was actually such a lot of fun. And because where it was situated in Elstree Studios, it was kind of, it was very open. So it was just, so much fun film. Actually, the garden was probably one of the best memories I have of that time, but definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so Mr. Hankin gives Diane a book on how they could take the paw prints of the animal. They don't know what it is. Nearly give it away.
No, you don't know what it is. Yeah, plaster of Paris.
And then they have to plaster of Paris to take the cast. And Julie Corrigan catches them and saying, you know, what are you doing in the garden? She's allowed to be there because she's an official helper, as Julie Corrigan would say. But then she does help them, and you know, she takes the cast with them. And I love this bit when they're sort of making the cast with the plaster of Paris, they use a spatula that they've nicked from the cookery class. And then they go back to the cookery class and they don't clean it before they make the scones or whatever it is they're making. And the teacher tastes them and says she really likes it because it's got a nice, gritty, earthy taste to it. But yeah, I mean, that's just typical Grangell, isn't it?
You know, yeah, and stuff absolutely. Like a bit of humour thrown in from everybody else.
But then they find out that the footprints belonged to a fox.
Fox.
Now, the girls go back and they they watch a family of foxes. Now I have to say...
Terrible, sorry.
I have to say, when you watch that, it doesn't exactly look like those foxes are actually there.
No, exactly. It's one of those where you think, oh, you could have chosen a better clip.
Because there's about four or five of them, but it just looks very sort of Wildlife on One or something like that. It's been lifted from that.
Oh, absolutely, It doesn't even match the garden that we're currently in.
But the girls are filmed looking at them and watching them. And what were you looking at?
Absolutely nothing. It's one of those where it was, right, look through that, and then there's just somebody standing there waving, and you're just like, do everything but not sit there giggling. But absolutely nothing, yeah.
Because you've got a massive smile on your face as well in that scene. Because I watched it and I thought, those foxes.
Well, we're meant to be in awe and in love of the foxes. So it was like, oh, wow. As if we'd never seen foxes before in our lives.
Because when I saw your face, I thought, maybe they are actually there. And, you know, but then when, again, you watch it and you think, no, there's no way they were there.
No, the footage is really bad.
You would have thought the BBC's budget could have stretched to maybe getting, you know, a couple in, but obviously not. But yeah, there we go. So carrying on with that, the girls are then faced with a bit of a dilemma because they want the foxes to be sort of their own little secret.
Yeah.
But they know that if people know about the foxes, then maybe the garden won't get sold. And they sort of, they deliberate over a little bit when they go, no, we will just join the campaign to save the garden and we'll fight for the garden. But then the local authority decide to build houses on it anyway. And a lot of the kids go over to try and sort of deter the workmen from doing what they're trying to do. And one of the workmen accidentally drops a cigarette in the shed next to a tin of white spirit. Now, you know, I wasn't the best at chemistry, but it doesn't take a genius to work out what's going to happen there. Obviously, it causes a fire. And that was round about when Diane and her friends had gone back to try and look for the foxes again. And somehow Lauren sort of becomes split up from the other three.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, your second scene with the fire. I'm spotting a recurring theme here, to be honest. And the girls couldn't find Lauren, but then Mr. Hankin and Miss Janowitz come, and the girls have to tell why they were there, and they basically tell them that they were there looking for the foxes, and luckily Lauren was found as well. But what seems strange to me there about all of that is that it only seemed to be Julie Corrigan who got into any sort of real trouble on that one. It was almost like she was it, because the other three were year sevens, and
yeah,
she was a bit older. It was like, oh yeah, you've led these girls astray.
Sure, literally.
It just seemed like the only scene that you see with anyone being sort of admonished in any way is Julie Corrigan. You think, there's three other girls there. Why haven't they? And that one's dead mouthy as well. Why hasn't she been pulled in? And then Diane again, you know, it's another design class with Mr. McKenzie, and everyone's sort of been asked to design a bag of some description.
Yeah.
And Mr. McKenzie just makes a little passing comment to the lads. You two are called Techno and Spanish, so you should be doing good work. And Diane says, hold on a minute, you've been quite sexist there, sir, just because they've got stupid boys' nicknames that they should be good at this. He wasn't really saying that at all. He was just making reference to the nicknames. And during that lesson, Jake's still suffering with his head injury. And all he does is he accidentally walks into Diane, and Diane kicks off on him again. You did that on purpose.
You don't sound very pleasant, do
no,
I?
No. Maybe that's why you... Anyway, I won't say that's why you were chosen for the role. But yeah, the handle of the bag gets broken that she was making. And then Mr. McKenzie says, all right, calm down, Diane, you know, I'll help you out. And then from those lessons again, there's another one where the year sevens get asked to do an energy conservation project, and to find out where the energy was being wasted in the school. And Diane and the girls go to the secretary's office to try and speak to Mrs. Neal.
She was brilliant.
The secretary,
I absolutely loved her.
Yeah. What was she like? She was.
We actually wrote letters to each other for years.
Right.
Afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah. We just clicked, and it was just one of the they talked about actually writing more scenes of me and her together.
Right.
Because we had such good chemistry.
Yeah.
And that, when I started mic taking her, that was all ad lib. I was actually ad libbing a few lines as well, and they were just like, Lena, go for it. Yeah, she was just lovely. I remember that scene with such fondness. It was really good fun, actually.
Yeah, because like sort of around that time, the a lot of the staff, they'd gone from being like sort of quite serious and quite stuffy. Mm. There was a lot of like sort of comedy with the staff. You know, when you look at like the likes of Mr. Hargreaves, Mr. Hankin, Mrs. Munro, and the secretary whose name I've forgotten.
It's terrible.
but you see that sort of, there had been a bit of a shift. So there was like quite a bit of comic relief from them. And getting back to the storyline, the girls just waited in the office for like half an hour and found out that she just made personal calls all the time. And there's a bit there which is very of its time, because Diane says, you know, she spent ages on the phone there, all before 1 o'clock as well. Quite astonished by the fact that, because all the girls are like, what's that got to do with anything? Because of the cost, you know, it's going to cost more during that time. And you forget things like that. Until you start watching it. Now, final episode in that series, Diane wasn't in it that much. She's only there sort of selling raffle tickets.
That's the fashion show. That's it.
Yeah. No, you mentioned about the other school. That was where they played. It was a baseball that they played.
That's it. Baseball. I knew it was the other school.
As well. But you weren't really in it sort of that much, that final episode. And then you weren't in Grange Hill at all after that.
No.
So what happened there?
So what happened basically was I got renewal contracts and I was brought in by Albert Barber to say that my character would be built up, getting bigger and bigger. Uh-huh. And as Justine was leaving, that I'd be taking over one of the lead characters in the show. I was also, as I was filming, there was a bit of interest from different shows and different things. Anyway, cut a very long story short, my family really didn't cope with me being on TV as regular as I was, because it was then I signed all contracts, that was all fine. And then as it was aired, because it's aired months later, I was doing, this might sound really weird, I was at 12 years old and you're doing personal appearances and I'm being recognised, and I did some interviews for newspapers, and I was on News Round, and my character somehow was, it got a lot of interest. I don't know how, why, because my character wasn't massive, as you well know. And it was, then there was talk of EastEnders being in my contract as well, that I'd be doing, it was a really big thing what was, and it was suddenly my agent was, this is a massive contract and da-da-da-da, and there was lots and lots of talk of where my character would go and even future storylines. And I'll be really honest, my mum and dad did not like that at all. They're very private people. And they just thought it was impacted on my school. My school, unfortunately, was very unsupportive. They did everything they possibly could to not support me. I went to a convent. And it was really difficult for everyone involved. I was heartbroken, because that's all I ever wanted to do was act. And it's all I had done since the age of 8 or 7. So, it was all suddenly, the decision was taken away from me. I was 13, 14. Mum and dad had power.
Yeah.
And that was it. And suddenly I was gone.
Wow.
And that was that story, which was destroying. It really was, because I knew what could have been. And then seeing storylines unfold and everything else. But I know.
Yeah, I mean, did you carry on watching?
I carried on for a little bit, but not very much, not too long, because it actually really hurt. I was absolutely heartbroken that what I did and what I knew would come was, my mum and dad just decided that they didn't want me to be part of it anymore. And that was, in hindsight, they now say they made a mistake, but it is what it is. You know, they were protecting me and I get it. You're kind of thrust into the limelight. I mean, I was suddenly in magazines, and there was a Fast Forward magazine, and the cartoonist really liked me. So I was in it a lot. And I was being recognized everywhere. And mum and dad, it just wasn't comfortable for them. And I do understand it. So,
So what was the public reaction like?
It was school. Not so good. It didn't go down very well with my school at all, because again, I didn't tell anybody. I'd been acting for a couple of years and doing jobs, and no one really kind of knew. I mean, even when I did the advert, because Prudential was so big, people were like, "Was that you?" And you just go, "No, just looks like me." And I did an awful lot of stage work beforehand as well, so I wasn't. And then suddenly being on TV, the response outside of school and things was really positive. I mean, I remember going shopping and people would just stare at me and go, Diane! And you're like, oh, no. And then you'd just be, and lots of kids would just come up and say hello to you. And but like we were doing opening schools, school fairs and things. Yeah. And it was all like, this is a bit weird. I don't know why we're doing this. That was all fun, but it was very strange kind of thinking I'm a 13-year-old opening a school fete. But there we go.
And so you mentioned there you were getting interest from other shows, and EastEnders was mentioned. Can you tell us any other shows that were interested?
Well, before and after I did some did the bill. I did, was meant to do some Casualty. It was filmed, but wasn't released. I then did Work for Working Title. I did, and then that was part of Channel 4 Films before it was independent, now as huge as it is. I did a couple of those, and then some theatre work. And then Mum and Dad just didn't want me doing, you know, day to day, was basically my life. It was an odd job here and then. So that's what I kind of did. And then at 18, I wanted to go back into it. And it was a lot harder. It was always, oh, you had this contract, but why did you leave?
Yeah.
And it was all. So I just continued doing lots of theatre. And I worked my last job until I kind of went, right, we're done. I was 26, and it was in the Haymarket Theatre in Leicester. I did Macbeth. Right. So yeah, it was one of those where I didn't want to give up my day job in terms of becoming a waitress and waiting around for auditions. It was, yeah. So when I got something, but I didn't kind of chase it anymore. So, and then, doing what I'm doing now.
Right. Okay. We'll get on to what you do in a minute, because you've met the things you've mentioned there. Your only entry on IMDb is Grange Hill.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there was anything else that you had got onto. And I always say this, I know IMDb isn't the most accurate of sources and the most reliable, but I just wanted to just check that one, because as I say, it is nothing before Grange Hill and nothing afterwards.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I know one, what I'm doing now, but I had to contact Google and get myself removed from search engines.
Right.
I don't know if that made an impact, but yeah, it's, I've always gone, that's the only thing they've got on there. But then I didn't even know I was on there until somebody else told me I was on there. So,
okay, then. So, the big question then, what do you do now?
So, now I'm a deputy head of a primary school. So, I am theatre, obviously, fell into it. I was at uni doing my performing arts degree. And a school asked me to come along and basically help them do all their performances. So the Christmas and summer performances while I was doing my degree. And I was also professionally working at the time as well, doing some theatre work. So it kind of all worked great. And next thing you know, rewriting Shakespeare for year twos and some Charles Dickens. And getting literally year twos to perform. It was brilliant. I loved it. Anyway, this new head came in and just said, why aren't you qualified? And I went, because I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I said, if I do anything, I want to be a drama teacher. And he went, no, I think you should do this. So next thing you know, I'm getting qualified as a teacher. And here we are. So, it's literally by accident. And then that was literally the year I qualified. That's when I did my last show, which is Macbeth, and done. And been doing this ever since. Excellent. And now I'm a deputy head, which is all a bit strange. Especially if anyone knows me, I was like a bit like Diane, my character. I hated school.
Right.
I couldn't wait to get out of school. And so the fact I spend my working career now in school every single day.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this, because I've seen, it's got it in my head that you lived abroad for a while as well, or have I made that one up?
No, I left the UK. Oh my goodness. I've been in the Middle East now for 12 years.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So I left the UK. How old was I? 34, 36, something like that. Went to Qatar, where I went first, and I was there for a long time. Just before the World Cup, I left, and I've been in Dubai since.
Right. Okay. So, how did that come about?
I got married and then I got divorced.
Right.
And I just wanted a clean slate, and an opportunity came up, and I never ever thought I'd be moving to Qatar. And suddenly it was moved to Qatar. So off I went. And haven't looked back, to be honest. I love it. I mean, I know people have an opinion of what Qatar's like. It's very similar to Dubai. It's a great way of living. It's the hours for teaching is still long, so it's not as if it's easier out here. But I love the sunshine, so it's great.
Right. Okay. Now, you know, we've said there, obviously, you were on Grange Hill for series 15, but you're only in sort of like 14 episodes.
Hmm.
But obviously, you would have been there, you know, the same amount of time sort of as everyone else. So who were your best friends on the programme?
Well, it would have been Fiona. We were thick as thieves. And then it was also Alan and Xander.
Right.
I mean, we were always the three of us together. And then occasionally Nina Fry and Natalie Poise, because I used to travel with Natalie. And David. David was a good character as well, actually. But yeah, so it was 9 out of 10. It was Nina. Weirdly, now this is a lot of people probably have no idea about this, but I used to have a lot of my lunch breaks with June Brown, Dot Cotton.
Right.
Yeah, we kind of befriended each other, which was very random. Ross Kemp used to come over and eat lunch with us as well on occasions. But yeah, so lunchtime, I kind of went to the adults. I don't know why, but I did. But yeah, probably because I spent a lot of my time around adults for a long time. But June Brown, she was a character.
She really was. Yeah, brilliant. And are you still in touch with anyone from the cast now?
On and off. It's a few of us talked about meeting up a couple of years ago. Then there was Alan and I reached out to each other not so long ago. So we actually talked about potentially meeting up this summer. So I must actually give him a text now. But no, see, it's been kind of one of those where I get invited to Grange Hill events and then I can't go because I'm abroad.
Yeah.
So that's always been like, So I've always said, can you do it in the summer? At least then I'm at home.
Brilliant. Okay. So we are sort of coming towards the end now, Helena. The last few questions are always the same questions. They're all Grange Hill related. So there's going to be, there's been a lot of talk lately that there's going to be a Grange Hill movie. Phil Redmond's written it. Sarah Sugarman, who played Jess Samuels and is an amazing director, is going to direct it as well. What do you think of the idea of a Grange Hill movie?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, it'd be great to actually bring it back. I'm sure lots of people would have an idea of what it would look like. So that is something that I think the writers, producers and directors have to play pretty carefully with. But again, it's got huge potential because one thing about Grange Hill was the storylines are pretty hard hitting and it was early. It discussed things that nobody else would discuss at the time. I mean, to discuss pregnancy on a children's TV program at that time was hard-hitting. You know, drugs the years and years before that. I think it's really exciting. I'm intrigued to see who'll be in it. Lots of people always say to me, my character wasn't big enough and I was only in it, as we know, for a year. So it wouldn't be something that they would think of me. But if they did, absolutely.
Definitely. Good, because I was going to ask if you were asked, would we see the return of Diane?
Oh, I mean, I'd love to. I'm sure. I don't think there'd be anyone that would say no because it'd be a great opportunity, even if you just appeared in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just very curious to know who would be in it and then what everyone looks like because you know we all grew up. Unfortunately.
See, I'm lucky. I get to see what everyone looks like through doing this.
I think I've changed very much. It's just I've got rid of the dodgy haircut, that's all.
No, you haven't changed much at all, no. Okay. So other than Diane Richmond, who was your favourite character on the programme?
I would say at the time, because she was so well known, it was Justine Dean.
Right.
I thought her character was great. And very relatable. I mean, before that would have been, you know, the classic Zamo. And I loved Tucker as a little girl. In fact, I even remember, you know, I was actually allowed to watch it at the time. Who else was there? Just trying to... Kelly, Ray's character. He was always such fun. And he was such a nice guy as well. He played this kind of really kind of loofy and awkward kind of character. But it was one of those you just loved, you know. And the fact that he was falling in love with his teacher as well. And, you know, but yeah. I'd say those characters.
Brilliant. And so if you couldn't have played Diane, which other character would you like to have played?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Nina Fry's character was interesting. Alice.
Yeah.
I forgot. I used to hang around with Alice as well. We were very close for a long time after Grange Hill, myself and Alice. She was a great character. I'd say Alice. Yeah, brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay. So then the final question is, why do you think there's still such affection for Grange Hill?
I think because it was one of its kind at the time, and it never became stale. It was always hard-hitting, interesting, and again, tackled subjects that no other children's programme did. I mean, years later was Biker Grove came on the scene, and even that, there were still some huge differences.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it was one of its kind, and that's what Phil Redmond did so brilliantly, to be honest.
Yeah. And like I've said a few times there, when Phil Redmond was told by the BBC that Children's BBC had to cater for under-11s, that was when Phil Redmond just said there's no point in doing Grange Hill anymore, and he pulled it there, because people always say, oh yeah, you know, it wasn't as good after such and such, and it wasn't as good after such and such. If people actually went back and revisited it, they'd see that those storylines were still there and there were still things getting tackled. It was just the fact that the BBC said, no, this is what you've got to do, and he said, well, there's no point anymore, let's can it now, and I think it's good that it was his decision to do that rather than someone else's.
He had the power.
Okay. Well, listen, Helena, thank you so much for coming on.
That's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Giving us your opinions on and your experiences. It's been great talking to you.
And you, Neil.
So, once again, thank you so much for coming on. And for anyone that's listening, I'll speak to you next time. Cheers.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Neil. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.